Hello and welcome to A Listing's Tales from the Script. I'm Tom Moore. Today we have a story and interview with Alison Summers, who's got a story all about brains and dancing. So I will hand over the mic to Alison Summers.
The brain. She's nervous, very nervous. She gets that message from her gut. It makes her much worse. Eyes darting to and fro. Question. Where's the nearest loo? Panicking now. Adrenaline surging. Guts ready to be a real nuisance. Oh, she's being sensible. She's telling herself that it's not nerves, just excitement. Make the message clearer. Thought that would make her go faster. No toilets in that cafe. Ah, Starbucks. Just in time. Now for the joke. Hee-hee, nothing happening. All in the head. Gut just playing. Well, cooperating with me, really. See, I don't like all this unnecessary exercise. It was all going just fine last term. I was able to relax, try out some familiar messages. It was only natural that you would get a bit depressed. When you've been used to rouse on a regular basis, you miss the adrenaline rush and the joy of making up. Her daughter was only a teenager, but she didn't pull her punches, that one. Kept her mother on her toes, quick with the name-calling, the swearing. Always caused a sharp intake of breath. Clever, these younger generations are. Always manage to do something that shocks their parents. The one that has just left home used to throw the furniture about before she learned to say, "Bitch!" and "Fuck off!" For a term, we relaxed into the familiar pre-child routine of being a bit vague, not smiling much, moving slowly, sleeping a lot, a few tears from time to time. It was like a holiday for me, I tell you. So different from the ping-pong of the last few years. But something changed over Christmas. I could feel the increased activity, the connections being made, old neurons lighting up. I felt apprehensive. This was how the pattern used to be. Long periods of inactivity, followed by short patches of intense thought processes and actions. She started to watch these dance movies over and over again. I had to get the memory cells out and polish them up. At least she's middle-aged, so I didn't have to create too many new ones, but boy, were the dancing ones rusty. Why couldn't she have taken up needlework or knitting or something that she could have got add-ons for? Those spectacles have saved me so much effort. At one point, I thought that the pain in her gut was going to send her home this evening. But she's got that steely resolve vibe going now, the one she lights up when she's on the internet. She's found the place. An exhausting round of "this doesn't look like the place, surely not, up these stairs," before she decides to wait and see if anyone else turns up. She's doing her low self-esteem thing now. Those two girls who have turned up in a Mercedes. Yep, they are younger and richer than she is. What's she going to do? Pretend she hasn't seen them, or cuddle up to them? She's going into the loo, playing for time. Ha! Now her fingers don't work properly. She's perched on the loo seat, desperately fumbling with a teeny thin strap her silly high heels. Deep breathing before the mirror. That artificial smile. Specs off! That's better. Not so many wrinkles. Staggering and slipping slightly on the hard floor, she weaves her way into the dance hall. More synapses lighting up as she recognises the music. Cuddling up time. Small talk to the other girls. Confidence dip when one of them says, "Yes, she is a dancer." Still, at least she's in a group now. Making jokes with the teacher who's moving the furniture. Didn't realise it was really table dancing we were doing. She's wearing herself out before the class has even begun. She can't concentrate on the small talk because she's counting the number of women and men in the room. Too many women. Her palms are getting sweaty. She's preparing to run away. Can't you just hear that adrenaline swirling and swooping? The teacher's doing a friendly introduction to the lesson. He's asking for a volunteer. No, just stay in the background. Thank God he's picked someone else. Of course, now she has to concentrate on what he's saying. She prefers doing. Over and over again until she gets it. Is it my fault that half of her skill-grasping cells seem to have died? That's why I never thought I would have to dust off these connections again. I really thought that those last two humiliating classes, what were they? Ballroom and Siroc, had made her realise this was not her forte. I blame the teenager. If she hadn't had to have driving practice, Her mother would never have realized that she still had tenacity, bravery, and inner resources. That whole summer, I thought her body had to run out of adrenaline. Coming up to those huge roundabouts, making split-second decisions, putting instructions into sensible form. It changed the woman. It did. Ouch, picking partners, not enough men. The other girls are quicker than she is. Dancing with a woman, just what she had dreaded. Pretending it's all fine. At least they're not doing the embrace. Just hands on shoulders. Walking forwards, walking backwards. Swap partners. Thank God she's got a man this time. He's polite. Introduces himself. He's been before. He's reassuring. She's beginning to relax. Can I go off duty for a few seconds? That was such a bad idea. She's got her feet mixed up. Doesn't know if she should be on her right or her left. She's looking at everyone else. She's getting muddled with mirror images and trying to get it right, and her partner's less confident now and, oh dear, meltdown. If only she would just relax. Always makes such a big deal of everything. The fuss over what to wear this evening. That one was too frumpy. This one had too much cleavage. That wee shift dress is quite becoming. Bit summery for autumn. She'll not like the way the others are dressed. Jeans and t-shirts. She's a bit overdressed. Let's face it, she's a bit old. Well, there's a surprise. She's beginning to enjoy herself. Smiling properly. Someone said that she's moving well. So dependent on approval. Finally got the feet sorted out. Another different partner. Phew, this one's a bit smelly. She's falling over herself, pretending it's okay. It's made her stiffen up again, though. That's the class over now. Will she stay for the party after? She's toying with the idea. Thank goodness she's decided against it. I really can't take any more of this red alert state. I'll set the endorphins going for her wee feet, and that will also keep her happy on the way home. Steady on now. No tangoing in the street.
That was your story. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write it?
The first time I had a tango lesson, my brain went into meltdown. Tango requires every cell of your body to take part.
What's the first thing you can remember writing?
I wrote a story about a family of hedgehogs. It was illustrated and it was bound in a striped wallpaper cover.
Oh, when was this?
That was when I was about 7 or something like that.
Ooh.
Probably.
Yeah. What do you like about performing stories?
I just like showing off and getting applause, and I like getting laughter from the audience. And it's a lot easier than acting, where you have to learn a script.
Yeah. So do you think there's something that can be gained from performing stories that you don't necessarily get from just reading them?
Well, I think for the author, it's nice to perform them because you get an instant reaction. I'm not entirely sure that it's as good for the audience as it is for the author, to be perfectly honest.
That's interesting. Okay. You've been teaching creative writing now for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started doing that?
When I had clinical depression, I was sent off to a creative writing class. It was really, we were just told we had to do something to get us out of the house. And that was the first experience I had of writing a piece and getting applause and laughter. And I thought, oh, this is nice. So I went to lots of other writing classes. I got better. And eventually I decided that I too wanted to teach creative writing. And so I put together a 6-week course, went for an interview with the City of Edinburgh Council, and the rest is history.
Would you recommend writing as a kind of aid to people who are suffering from depression then?
Yes, I would. If it's so long as it's in a group, and so long as the person who runs the group is a good facilitator.
Okay. So from your years of teaching, can you kind of do a really snappy one piece of advice that you would give every writer?
It's very much related to what I've just said. I would say writers need to join a group for support and for feedback.
On a similar sort of note, do you think that there's like one essential trait that all writers need?
It's just sheer persistence, just keeping on, keeping on.
Do you have any advice for young writers dealing with criticism and rejection?
Rejection, not so much advice for that, but for criticism, listen, don't argue, go and kick the cat, and you'll probably realise 2 weeks later that whoever criticised you was right.
Do you think Edinburgh's literary scene makes it supportive or overly competitive for writers?
I think it's really supportive. Edinburgh is such a small place. It's easy to meet published writers and emerging writers. And the literary salon is great for that, and the book festival is even better. I don't think you could have a better place to be a writer.
What did you particularly enjoy at this year's book festival?
I particularly enjoyed the World Writers Conference. It was completely amazing, and the fact that you can actually see it being broadcast live is astonishing. It was such an interesting experience.
Okay. Are there any stories that have had a profound influence on you as you've developed?
I think one of my favourite stories is one by an Irish writer, and it's about a little boy's first confession and his rather feisty relationship with his older sister. And it just had me absolutely crying with laughter. And I like making people laugh or cry.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on at the moment?
I'm working on a novel. Catherine Douglas's cashmere sweaters are full of mottles. So is her brain. As early onset dementia ravages her brain, Catherine tells stories. The trouble is, nobody knows which stories are true and which are fiction. And all these stories threaten her marriage and the short time she has left to live.
So would you like to talk a little bit about what led you to be writing this novel?
Well, a relative of mine had early onset dementia, and it's been both horrible and fascinating watching her go through the different stages. I feel it's really important that fiction should deal with contemporary issues, and boy, is dementia a contemporary issue.
Right, okay, final question. And again, this is just a kind of a random tagline end question. What would you like written on your gravestone?
She listened and made me giggle.
Aw, that is nice. All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, that's all from us at Alistinct for now. Don't forget that if you want to learn anything more about Alistinct or our readers, then you can check us out at alistinct.net. I've been Tom Moore, and I hope very much to be speaking at you again. Bye-bye.